Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello, listeners. It's us.
Ever heard of us? This is a wild episode to introduce, not only because I think it's one of our most, if not our most, chaotic live episode to date, but it also took place 5 full months ago, so you're kind of being introduced to past versions of ourselves. Who knows, so much has happened, so much has taken place since this historic episode was recorded. But
so true,
we were waiting for the summer to release it because it just feels like a summery episode, even though we recorded it in February. You clicked on it, you know what it is. We covered the Hannah Montana movie with Robert Evans in front of a live studio audience, and I threw a knife into the audience by accident.
Yes, which we don't really acknowledge, at least verbally, as it happened on stage. But here's the thing. We live streamed that show, and you can still buy like on-demand tickets for it. So if you want to see the moment where, Jamie, I think you're just sort of like jokingly like waving around this, it was a knife in its case, but it also had smaller knives inside.
Literally, I was like, of course Robert had 4 or 5 knives in a single sheath, question mark. I assumed it was just the one like machete, but no, there were also the machete also had sons, and I didn't know.
All knife stories are about fathers and sons.
And we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
So I did throw a knife into the audience. I will say, quick update, I don't even think I've told you this, Caitlin, that the person who I almost hit with a knife, it fell at their feet. It wasn't like missed their head or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's such a weird plug for for buying the live stream to be like, watch, I almost really hurt somebody. But you can see it in the live stream. Either way, they came to a book promo show I did at the same venue, Curious Comedy Theater in Portland, several months later, and we had a good laugh about Knifegate. So it's all good. I just wanted to say that at the top. And also, this episode was so fun for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I think it's fun because our show has been on for so long now that we've like teased the fact that we would someday do this episode for probably three or four years.
Many years.
Yes. Many moons. A lot of sunrises, a lot of sunsets since we've been threatening to do this episode. And we did. And it is, it was everything I dreamed, and a knife attack.
Yes, it was such a treat to do. We had so much fun, and there was a knife, but everyone survived. And also, another reason to check out the live stream, if you want to do that, either instead of or in addition to listening to the audio only episode, boring, But look, we're wearing wigs, okay?
Oh, I forgot we are wearing wigs.
Our wigs keep falling off, and that's visual comedy.
That is.
Robert Evans also wears a wig. You'll see all of the knives that he brought to the stage and doled out to...
Sophie is there. Our beloved there. Sophie came on stage. It was... And you can also see an argument between another person who came to the Raw Dog show as well. At some point, I accidentally encouraged Robert and an audience member to get into a fight about chickens or farms. I don't know.
Eggs. It's specifically the eggs. Number of eggs that get produced. We cut it out of the episode because it just didn't translate very well to the audio medium. But
yeah, you can watch it. It's extremely stressful to...
There's also a horny looking corn dog, apparently, or a hot... I don't know. There's a very phallic hot dog.
Thing was huge. It was massive. God, this show really, it's really taking me back to a simpler time, but it was an altogether menacing night, and I loved every second of it.
It was delightful.
So take a trip down memory lane with us, and let's check out the Hannah Montana movie with, of course, Robert Evans. You know him, you love him, from Behind the Bastards, from It Could Happen Here, from all Cool Zone Media endeavors, and, you know, if you're listening to this show, you know who Robert is. We love Robert to death, and we have been waiting to, I mean, and as you know, it's a rare privilege for men to be on the show.
It's true.
So he paid us for that. No, I'm kidding. He didn't. We did pay him. Anyways, and we wanted to plug again. This actually, for those trying to do Bechdel cast continuity, this was recorded the same night of our show with Sarah Marshall at Curious Comedy with our Goonies episode. And we were so lucky to partner with Curious Comedy again. So we just wanted to shout out everyone there. And yeehaw, bitch. Enjoy the episode.
Enjoy.
Welcome, everybody, to Curious Comedy Theater. Make some noise for the Bechdel cast. Please keep it going for Jamie and Caitlin.
Patriarchy's effing best. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Wow, welcome. We've changed. The show has pivoted hard.
Whew, okay, hi.
You're just going to be yourself. Okay. I guess we hadn't pre-planned a bit. Sorry, my hat's going to be slipping and sliding off this very real hair.
We should come up with alter ego names for us.
Yes.
Such as Kate Lana Montana.
No notes. I think it's great.
Thank you.
I would like to be Bambi Massachusetts.
Oh.
Yes.
She's nothing like Hannah Montana, and that's what makes her special. She can't sing for shit.
Wait, what is Keanu Reeves' character in Point Break? His last name? Johnny Utah. Okay, I'm Johnny Utah.
Yes, yes. You're Johnny Utah's long-lost sister.
Joni Utah.
Ooh, that's genuinely a great... That's like a good roller derby name, too.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. Bambi, Massachusetts, really not much to say about her. She's mostly just, you know, a terrible singer and basically incompetent. That's my alter ego that I like to slip in and out of.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh. Welcome to the Bechdel cast. Yes. Thank you for coming. We're so excited you're here. We haven't been to... Oh, God. Oh, no.
I know. These are shedding.
I think this is just going to keep happening. We actually got a really, like, expensive, nice wig for the show, and you can tell by the fact that it isn't working.
It's falling apart. Our tags are
still on. Yeah.
I'm just going to hide
really
it.
Really nice. Wow. Okay, so this is... We're just going to be balding the whole time. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But, no, we're so excited to be back in Portland. We haven't been here for 3 years. Was anyone here the last time we did a show here?
Wow, welcome back.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Okay. Is anyone here just because they're like a Hannah Montana fan? Is anyone here just like to tell me the seven things you hate about me? Yeah, we're okay. We should tell them what the show is.
Yes, yes. This is the Bechdelcast. My name's Caitlin Durante,
aka Joni Utah.
Joni Utah.
Nailed it.
My name's Jamie Loftus, aka Bambi, Massachusetts, and. No, we're thrilled to be back, and we're thrilled to be talking about kind of one of the greatest cinematic achievements of our of our era, I think.
Yes.
This is our podcast where we take an intersectional feminist look at your favorite movies. Tonight, I'm really not sure what it's going to be.
If you're expecting, like, really thorough, thoughtful discourse...
You've come to the right place.
That's what will happen here tonight.
When people are talking about, like, put your thinking caps on, I'm thinking...
this is that.
Yeah.
It's so intellectual what you're about to see.
Yeah.
So, in fact, one of us might even have a master's degree, and... I would never mention that. No. So,
Joni, you would never.
I would never. So yeah, this is our show, The Bechdelcast, where we analyze movies through an intersectional feminist lens using the Bechdel test as a jumping off point. But Bambi, Massachusetts, what is that?
Well, it was a media metric invented by a huge fan of Bambi, Massachusetts, queer cartoonist Alison Bechdel. A lot of versions of the test. Our version of the test requires that... two Hannah Montanas with names talk to each other about something other than an identity crisis.
Yeah.
And most movies do not pass this test.
Pretty rare. In fact, maybe only one movie does.
Yes.
Actually,
and it's not this one.
It's Fight Club. It actually kind of works. Is Hannah Montana the same movie as Fight Club?
I truly... Oh, I've got this in my notes. I just didn't like, it's a gift from, like, Hannah Montana and young people with identity crises. I mean, she was there for us, and her wig was not good. It was thrilling. Okay, so we have a very special guest with us tonight. Also, hello to the live stream.
Yes, hello.
I guess that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
In the last one, I forgot that I once again insulted the city of San Francisco, and then I was like, oh wait, anyone can see this.
They're watching.
Yeah, I will not be allowed within the city limits again, and that's fucking fine. But we have an amazing guest who is a huge Hannah Montana fan.
Yes.
And honestly, I don't mean to like embarrass him, but like he's been. At least once a week, it's like 30 texts in a row of like, when can I talk about this subject I'm so passionate about? Mm-hmm. People assume I'm like one kind of person, but really I'm like a number one Hannah stan, and I want to talk about it. I'm like, oh my God, enough.
That's his alter ego. Everyone thinks of our guest as, oh, a journalist. Oh, I host Behind the Bastards. But
oh, I have a knife, you know? And it's like, okay, but what's just beneath the surface?
But secretly, it's Hannah Montana, number one fan.
He's a number one fan of Montana. So let's get him out here. He's Boston's number one prop comic. Please give it up for Robert Evans!
We prefer to be called Hannah Montfanas. Okay. So, first off,
thank you for bravely
check your terms.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Holy shit.
Fucked up.
Well, I feel very safe, I think, right now.
Would you like some weapons?
Yeah. Yeah.
We are in the state of Oregon, which in its very enlightened nature allows the open carry of any kind of knife. So, I brought a couple.
Oh. Sensing some clenching buttholes in the crowd. And
in honor of your corn dog, I brought you this. That's called a Rungu. It's a war club.
So I just wanted to say, I wanted to shout out, where's the audience member that gave me the corn dog? Hello, what's your name?
Max.
Thank you, Max, because this corn dog is pornographic that you gave me. Absolutely fucking sick. I will be contacting the authorities that I don't believe in or trust. But this is like, I mean, look at this.
They really do look exactly alike.
When they say all movies are about fathers and sons, this is what they're talking about. Well, then, I mean, okay, yeah. Wait, what is this called?
It's called a rungu. It's a war club.
So it's a whack.
Yeah, it's for hitting stuff.
It's a mm-hmm. whacker. All right.
Now, this is extremely dangerous,
oh, wow.
Caitlin. It can't be closed. We'll just set that down here.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I received that in the mail in an anonymous box of knives from a fan who said his grandfather had sort of lost his mind later in life and just uh-huh. kept ordering knives from the Bud K catalog. And they couldn't figure out what to do with them, so they sent them to me.
Uh-huh. Does it open like this?
It does. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
What is like?
There's no way to safely carry or transport it.
And yet, you did that
this
in your
is,
bag.
Yeah.
This is maybe a ridiculous question, but like, what is the desired effect for when you like? Because there's also like a.
I'm afraid it's gonna like spring out.
It's not spring loaded. It's far too heavy for that.
There's a gorgeous angel with huge naturals on this as well, which you can't see because we're afraid to pick it up. But
fear is a natural reaction to that knife.
If I was using it, what would happen to someone?
Well, you would hurt yourself first, I suspect. It doesn't. I did use it to trim brush at one point, but it didn't end well for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I believe you have two more weapons with you. Is that correct?
I just got one here for someone else.
I feel like we should get another woman on stage.
Oh yeah, that's
honestly,
a good idea.
I feel better.
Yeah, feel safe. Yeah. That way,
can we actually? Can we bring out our producer Sophie Lichterman? I would feel much better. I would feel way, way better.
There's a mic right there.
All right.
It's actually Sophie Califofi.
Oh. Yes.
I'd like to be properly introduced next time. Thank you so much.
What is this weapon you've got?
I don't know. It's very heavy.
It's a kukri.
Notice how he's afraid when I do this.
And what would that do? Would it give you a little scrape?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, can we open her up, please?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Now, Sophie, you want to keep a drink in one hand and just kind of wave that. It feels real good.
I've never felt happier.
Yeah.
I'm also afraid to move my arm.
No, it's barely, it's blunt. That's the safest kind of knife. It makes really,
wow.
Yeah.
It is very, want to swap for a sec?
Yeah, I think I got the safest one because I can't be trusted.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
this
say
is
that.
Kinda,
yeah.
This is, it's hefty.
Yeah.
It's hefty. Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't think you should have that.
I think I would feel pretty good about this. I'm going to be like
I
doing
trust
this.
Trust you
like,
with it. Yeah.
I do. Whoop. Uh-oh. Okay. It's just kind of a slick surface is the thing. It's kind of a water slide situation up there. I do think this is the first time in Bechdelcast history that we have invited a male guest on, and he immediately approached us by explaining things to us. And introducing active violence into the situation.
In my defense, you made me watch the Hannah Montana movie.
I mean, fair. Okay, which you, in keeping with the lore, love.
Thank you.
I'm okay.
Please,
I guess
please
I really shouldn't be holding
that.
Oh my God.
Sophie, do you want to like, do you want to hang
just get
for
it
a bit?
In there. Just jam it. There we go.
Yes.
Would you like to hang?
Mm-hmm.
I'll hang.
All right.
Hi, Sarah Marshall.
Give it up for Sarah Marshall. She was our guest on our first show tonight. Give it up if you were at the first show tonight. Yes. So exciting. I got Minions walkie-talkies as a gift after the show, and I was so fucking thrilled. I was going to go to different rooms in my house and be like, below, over. Poopie, over.
I'm really loving the blonde theme here. Thank
yeah, we were going to bring you a wig, but you have the natural Hannah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I guess now that we're all here,
yes.
Now that this brain trust has finally come together,
yes.
We should do what everyone wants us to do, which is talk about Hannah Montana under duress.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, Caitlin, what is your history with Hannah Montana, the person, the property, the idea, the movie?
Well, you'll never believe this, but I had never seen any of it until maybe 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, hey.
I knew about, thank you so much, I knew about Hannah Montana. I knew that that's how Miley Cyrus got her start, but I didn't watch any of it. The end.
But now you...
I have watched it.
I love it.
And then we watched several episodes of the show today.
Mm-hmm. Again,
also,
under duress.
Under duress. Most notably, Larry David makes a cameo as himself in the show. Mm-hmm. I was really taken aback by that.
Oh, a season two gem. He yeah. shows up in a Curb Your Enthusiasm style thing. He can't get into a restaurant. He's got a baby Cassie David with him. Who knows why this is happening, but we're thrilled and we're cheering and sometimes we're crying. It's an exciting moment.
So yeah, that's my history. What about you, Jamie?
I love Hannah Montana. I think I was objectively too old for Hannah Montana when it came out. And with all that like Disney Channel stuff of that era, I was very like bright eyes 13-year-old. I was like, Hannah who? And then secretly I was feral for Hannah Montana. But I had an amazing friend in junior high and high school and still now, her name's Lois. And she like, I think she was like a really important friend to have where when we were not supposed to like things anymore, Lois was just like, no, I like the Jonas Brothers and we're going to their concert today. Asshole, right? Mm-hmm. And then we would go, and then so I think I got like this kind of cool like backdoor experience to that era of pop stars with weird hair, and I loved it. I had so much fun. I went to a Hannah Montana concert.
Oh, yeah.
In junior high. And
no, you did not.
I did. And she performed. It was great. There's like a certain point in the show where she'll like reveal herself to be who we already know her to be, but we're all just playing along for no reason. And then the Jonas Brothers come out and they have a trampoline and you're like, this is all great. I'm loving this. So I like watched the like first season of the show and then I really and truly was too old to do it. And then I came back for the movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, should I use one of these knives to cut this tag off?
No.
It's very
you're
safe.
Right.
No.
I'm not touching that one, but...
I think that we came up with the idea for this episode like 5 years ago when we were recording and you didn't know who Ariana Grande was.
He most certainly did not.
Yes, yeah. So that I think is where this came from. But now, Robert, what's your experience with Hannah Montana? I know it's been a journey.
Well, I up until about 5 days ago, I was pretty sure she was Taylor Swift. And I'm going to be honest, the fact that Taylor Swift is in the movie did not entirely disabuse me of that notion.
I quit.
I miss Hannah. So like... I graduated high school, I think, a few years before you did, and a few years before Hannah Montana really became a thing,
yeah.
I think. And so it was just kind of one of those when I dropped out of pop culture briefly to do a lot of drugs, and then I came back, and she was very, very famous, and I was like, oh, mm-hmm. This is something I missed.
And to think you could have been watching Hannah Montana on drugs all those years.
I can't say for certain that I didn't, but it does seem unlikely.
But now you've seen the movie, and what's your general impression?
I think it was probably the best Hannah Montana movie that you were likely to get.
Very, very judicious of you.
with one exception, but we'll get to that.
I see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Sophie, what's your history with Hannah Montana?
Definitely watched it when I was a kid. Definitely thought too many times about bangs. Oh, no, I'm just waiting.
No, I'm listening.
I'm just going to make really good eye contact while I tell this. Thought about bangs. All the little guest star pieces are great. I like that Elvis, a.k.a. Austin Butler, does not sound... Oh. Not the first time this has happened between us.
They're really good corn dogs, by the way, whoever got them.
Yeah. And then, you know, followed Miley through her, what did we say her I'm No Longer a Disney Baby song was? Oh, Can't Be Tamed, mm-hmm. when she's like in a cage, also as a bird.
And she's like, we're going to talk about this in pickups later on, but like she's also done some serious cultural appropriation over the years. Like she's,
yes.
Her crimes are many.
She should definitely apologize to Michael Jordan for that one song.
Wait,
thank you to the one person who got that reference.
Okay.
Thank you. And then just all the times you've forced me to watch.
Like
the show.
Today for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a bit of a hostage crisis today when I made people watch Hannah Montana for 3 hours. And every time they were not responding well, I'd be like, you just don't understand.
We're getting very defensive, yes.
I felt myself doing what my therapist tells me not to do. Which is get defensive over things that aren't important. But I was like, no, you just need to see how in the show, like in the movie, Hannah Montana reveals her identity in one way. In the show, Jay Leno finds out about her identity and it's a catastrophe. It's a whole thing. But we're here to talk about the Hannah Montana movie.
That's right.
So should we recap it?
We certainly should.
It's Caitlin's famous recap, folks.
Oh my gosh.
This is like untenable.
It's I'm like, I'm almost done with my glass of wine. I'm gonna need another one soon. I know it's scary up here. Okay. So yeah.
The people love her.
So I just want to provide a little bit of context before I do the recap for the movie. But Jamie, I think I need your help. So yes. I think what you need to already know about Hannah Montana as a character, as an intellectual property, is that Miley Stewart.
Yes, Miley Stewart, so, and her confusing father, Robbie Ray Stewart.
Unacceptable.
She is just a regular girl, but her alter ego, Hannah Montana, is super famous, and no one knows Hannah's true identity. No one knows that Miley is
except
Hannah,
for her except trusted for circle.
Her circle, exactly.
Yes. Dolly Parton knows.
Dolly Parton knows. Yeah. In the movie, we realize that her grandmother, Margot Martindale, knows.
Margot Martindale is well aware, yes. And she knows the hoedown throwdown, we find
she
out.
She knows it by heart.
She knows a lot of things,
her
that Margot Martindale.
Breaky heart. Okay, so all she does is put on a blonde wig, right? To become Hannah?
Oh, and all we do is talk into a micro... No, that is all we do. Yeah.
And the reason she does this, she like is living the secret life, is she wants to have a normal teen life as
someone
Miley.
Constantly suffering an identity crisis.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's what you need to know going in. So the movie opens with Miley Stewart. That, of course, is Miley Cyrus. She's struggling to get into her own Hannah Montana concert in Los Angeles. Ever heard of it? But
that's not going to work here. People aren't thrilled.
Shout out to anyone from LA who's watching the live stream. Woo!
Still not playing. It's not playing in the room.
Somebody in bed watching this is like,
yeah. They're talking about me. Okay.
I think that's where our shows are best seen, from someone who's like watching on their phone, like facing their head.
Also eating a corn dog.
Yeah, that looks just like this.
Okay, so Miley and her best friend Lily, played by Emily Osment, they finally get into the show, and Miley performs as her alter ego, Hannah Montana. Her dad, Robbie Ray, played by Billy Ray Cyrus.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Anything to say?
I'm so angry.
You should be excited. He has kind of the same name as you. Robbie Ray Evans.
I come here to you, Jamie, on a Thursday night when I could be doing ketamine. And this is how you repay me.
Robbie Ray Evans, everybody. Wow. One of the greats.
Beautiful. So he's Hannah Montana's manager, is that right?
Yeah, his whole thing is he puts on a fake mustache. In the show, he's like, I'm Hannah Montana's manager. And then he puts on a like Jacques Clouseau mustache.
He has,
and everyone's like, yeah.
He has a soul patch that has to register with everyone in his neighborhood to let them know that he can't be within 500 feet of a school. Like that.
I have a question. The soul patch is, I don't know if it's more canonical to the character or the man. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Vanessa Williams is also there playing a character named Vita, which is Hannah Montana's publicist.
Yes.
Right? And then there's also this guy named Oswald, which is this like sleazy tabloid guy who's trying to get this juicy expose style scoop on Hannah Montana.
That's one of the things I like about the movie, is for some reason it has like a very correctly low opinion of the British tabloids specifically. And I was like, yeah, I guess that tracks. I wonder like why they're being singled out. I mean, they're horrible, but
yes.
Who knows? They've got it in for our Hannah.
Yes, indeed.
So everything is going great in Hannah Montana and Miley's life until Miley lets a few Hannah-related things get in the way, such as a shoe-related brawl with Tyra Banks.
Okay. How much do you think they paid Tyra to be in that movie?
She also had to learn the hoedown throwdown, for the record. She does it in the credits for like 10 seconds and then bails, which I respect.
Sure. Because this is what? Yeah. This is what,
2009?
So yeah. That's like peak America. That's peak Tyra TV time.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Tyra's a huge cameo no matter when,
Next
but like
Top
09.
Models on. I'm like, that's a big bag.
She throws
Tyra.
Miley Cyrus over a couch.
Oh, well, she must have done it for free.
Yeah. They get into a pretty intense. You know, and a lot of exchanges in that fight do pass the Bechdel test.
It's true.
Yeah.
And we applaud that.
It yeah. is a flawed metric.
So they're fighting over shoes because women be shopping for shoes.
Yes.
And also Miley screws up her best friend Lily's birthday party because she shows up as Hannah Montana. And so all of the thunder is taken away from Lily. So Miley's dad, Robbie Ray, is like, you need to simmer down. And he
already you're acting better than Billy Ray's actually does. I've never heard a person more actively reading the whole time.
Which is honestly impressive, because I wouldn't have guessed that he could, just knowing what I know about Billy Ray.
So he takes her to her hometown of Crowley Corners, Tennessee, to get away from it all and to visit her grandmother, Margot Martindale, for her birthday. Character actor, Margot Martindale, for her birthday. Because Miley needs to learn to appreciate what matters because her Hannah persona is just becoming too much.
Mm-hmm. This is something that always... I mean, Robbie Ray Stewart, the famous character. He's always like... mad at his daughter for having a dual identity as if he weren't integral in creating it in the first place. He's like, you're losing touch with yourself, you 14-year-old fucking loser. And I was like, dude, you had to have signed off on this at some point. And I'm pretty sure she bought your house.
Right. Why can't you handle this duality that I'm forcing you into as a child?
With your undeveloped brain.
Right. Okay, so Miley goes back to her hometown in Tennessee. Her grandmother tells Miley about how developers are trying to swoop into town to build a huge mall, like do all this like urban sprawl stuff. Mm. So the town... thank you for saying that, because I noticed that both of the shows that we did live tonight in Portland, The Goonies and Hannah Montana, the movie, have basically the same premise, which is young person needs to do something drastic to save their town that's in danger of being ruined by rich people.
And it would be cool if either Data from The Goonies became a pop star.
Ooh.
Or Miley Cyrus had to go onto a pirate ship in hell. Either of these movies I would be perfectly happy with.
Yes. So the town of Crowley Corners is raising funds so that they can pay the taxes on the land to keep the developers out. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, a couple romances are brewing.
And they all fucking suck.
One is between Robbie Ray and a local woman, Lorelai.
Jan Levinson Gould. So weird.
I don't approve.
I know. It's like
it really bothered me.
I mean, I love her, but also it's just like, ugh, now we're sticking Melora Harding with Robbie Ray. It doesn't seem fair. And Robbie Ray's not nice to her. He's always like, I'm busy being a parent. And she's like, oh my God, I just said hello.
Why did he even get a love interest? Like, bro, it's not about you. It's so fucking weird.
If you think that's weird, what do you hear about his real current love interest?
Oh wow.
I know. Robert's made a separate presentation.
Oh, yeah. Robert was like, I'll do your show. I got 5 pages of Billy Ray.
At some point, it became very clear that this was going to be a Behind the Bastards about Billy Ray Cyrus. but I welcome not accepted. He printed out notes on the laser jet. I mean, it's just a lot. That's so menacing, Robert. That's so menacing. Whoa, I just got my blood pressure just rose.
Can't wait.
What is handwritten on there?
Can I read it?
Please do.
Oh my God. It says, "She is the fruit of a poisoned seed."
Now, that was about a horse and a half worth of ketamine into my night of research. Do you want to know what else is on the back there?
Yeah, there's an address.
Yeah, that's Billy Ray's home address.
No, stop! What's wrong with you?
It was a long night.
The group text really was becoming concerning at some point. So Robbie Ray's dating Jan Levinson Gould, and it fucking sucks.
Yes, it sucks. What also sucks is Miley and the boy that she used to know from school, Travis. They...
Yeah. Can we just get a big boo for Travis? Boo. We hate fucking Travis. Oh my God.
Why did he get to go to the movie? He seemed like TV series specific. Why did he get to bump up to the movie?
I don't even think he was on the show. I'm pretty sure most of the movie is like not even canonical to the show.
Shouldn't it have been Jake Ryan?
There is a guy named Jake
Ryan. Jake Ryan got woos. Travis got boos. Enough said.
Miley Cyrus, Miley Stewart. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow.
Miley Stewart had so many boyfriends in that show, and they were all like played by a different guy named Cody with the same haircut.
Yeah.
And then he's always like, "Miley, I have a big crush on you," and she's like, "Me?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's watch this for 5 days."
Okay, so Miley and Travis start building a chicken coop together. And that's kind of the basis of their relationship. Point is, she's getting back to her country roots. She then goes to a fundraiser / open mic night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things. And Miley performs the hoedown throwdown.
Yes. Okay, we got a pop for the hoedown throwdown. Yeah. It is a classic, generationally shifting musical sequence. You don't have to like it, but it's history.
But you do have to do it, everyone. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Something, 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 something.
Oh, I wrote down all the lyrics. It is pop it, lock it, polka dot it, country fun.
Oh, okay.
Something. Put your hog in the sky. Yeah, I'm fucking
wait,
this
wait,
up.
I'm
Everyone
sorry.
Else knows it better than me.
Someone had it. Wait, would you mind just doing it on... Do you know it? Yeah.
I think it must have been.
All right, let's see. I don't know. sorry to be so scared. Sorry, I just ate the scariest corn dog of my life. Okay, so it starts with what?
Pop it, lock it, polka dot it, country fight it, hip hop. Somebody.
Hit it.
Side to side, jump to the left, stick it, glide, zigzag across the floor,
shuffle in diagonal.
Okay, so like a kind of a historic thing that happened there. Thank you. So wait, what's your name?
Zav.
Give it up for Zav, everybody. That was
wow.
That was very special. I loved it.
Music kind of moves you, you know?
It does.
I mean...
I agree with that.
It's not about the lyrics.
It's about how you feel.
It's a song that feels like a song, to misquote Harry Styles. Okay, so Miley inspires everyone in town to perform the hoedown throwdown. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Capitalism shows up, and he's like, "You'll never raise enough money to stop me from putting up my shopping mall." And then Travis, boo, suggests that Miley invite Hannah Montana to town to put on a huge benefit concert because Miley had previously mentioned that she knew Hannah.
And you're like, Travis, shut the fuck up. Every time Travis speaks, my fists clench. He thinks he's so fucking smart.
He's going to make a killing in the egg business.
Then she'll be sorry.
With the ugliest chicken coop I've ever seen. Sorry.
His whole arc, he's like, I'm building a chicken coop. And then at the end, Miley Cyrus makes it uglier than it's ever been. And he's like, I better date her. And it's like... and then Travis, for the record, never heard from again. She has a totally different boyfriend on the show. She's dating a guitarist named Jesse, who keeps forgetting, like, Jesse's whole thing. I made Caitlin and Sophie watch the episodes today. Mm-hmm. Jesse, his brain cells, they're not so good. And so her whole thing is like, just don't kiss me when I'm Hannah Montana. And he's like, okay, got it. That night on Jay Leno, he kisses her as Hannah Montana and Jay Leno gets the scoop. Mm-hmm. It's thrilling.
Wow.
Why is Jay Leno on the show?
Why is Larry David
in
the show?
You didn't want Travis on the show. Why? Hmm?
We're not. No, I mean, we didn't. I wasn't asking. I didn't want more Travis, but he's just a pretty diabolical character.
We
in
didn't
general.
Really want Jesse either.
No. Mm. We didn't really want the show. We could keep going there. I liked the show.
Okay, so Travis is like, invite Hannah Montana to town. So now Miley has to pretend to bring Hannah to town. Her friend Lily shows up to help. Hannah is then invited to a dinner with the mayor, but oh no, it's at the same time as the date that she has with Travis.
Okay, hijinks alert.
Mrs. Doubtfire scene alert. Mm-hmm. And so Miley has to like go back and forth between the two events, putting on her Hannah wig, taking off her Hannah wig. Mm-hmm. It's really good storytelling. And then...
Robert, you had a pretty...
Travis is waiting for his date, and he keeps getting angrier and angrier.
Yes.
And as someone who was once a 17-year-old boy, if I had been on a date with a girl, and she had not shown up and then come back and apologized, the last thing I would have done is get angry.
But he's furious.
He's quick to anger every single time, and you're like, we gotta
no,
get.
No,
we gotta.
He puts his fist through some drywall after that. We just don't see that scene.
That's why it's taking so long to build this damn chicken coop. He's punching holes in it.
And then he figures out that Miley is Montana, and he's really upset because she lied to him. And
we're gonna
he
let it slide.
Isn't. What did I say?
I
this
loved
time?
That phrase.
He's had fingers Montana.
Really do it again?
No.
Okay. Here's the thing. You weren't wrong, but you definitely were right. Oh.
It's okay.
Okay, so Miley is upset that Travis dumped her for reasons that we know about. And she and her dad have a heart-to-heart. They sing a song together. I guess it's moving. And then it's time for the big concert.
I love when it's time for the big concert. Oh,
it's like, wow, is the third act happening? She starts performing, but then she stops and she's like, I can't do this. I can't lie to you. This is my hometown. You're my people. And I'm Miley Cyrus Stewart. Not Hannah Montana. So she takes off her wig and then she performs a song as Miley. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she's gonna quit being Hannah Montana,
which this is a while because it seems like she it seems like she wants to quit being Hannah Montana at this point. Mm. Which is like I mean there's plenty of reasons, right? And I'm overthinking this. There's like, I can see how wanting to be rid of your alter ego, that's good, but it seems like she's like, so I can date Travis, and you're like, oh, like, yeah. Throwing away your career for Travis wouldn't be me.
I mean, but the way egg prices have gone lately, that might still work out for her.
I was really hoping that was not your egg joke.
I do have a lot of problems with the way eggs are depicted.
Okay,
in this
movie. Well then, yeah, please, yeah. Please. Well, that's what our show is about.
We see a chicken coop that has easily 30 to 40 chickens,
go.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, we see Miley put maybe 4 or 5 eggs in her pockets, right, before she falls and breaks them. And then she only finds one more. Now, based on what the outside looks like and based on the way people are dressed, it's clearly shot sometime in spring or early summer, given the weather in Tennessee. That is prime egg-making hours. With that many chickens, they're putting out 60 to 80 eggs a day, I guarantee you.
Each chicken?
Where are the other eggs, Miley?
This sounds like the worst social media campaign of all time.
Hashtag, where are the other eggs?
Here's my question. When collecting eggs, is it standard to put them in your pockets?
No, that's a terrible place for an egg. Either way, there's something suspicious about the egg count that we see in this film.
I think we can all agree that there's...
This was his main point, and he's so upset. Right?
I'm livid.
Yes, and we can... something we can all agree on is that she is the fruit of a poisoned seed.
I don't believe you wrote that. Not sober. I think that was sober thoughts.
No, but look...
Wow, 2409.
No, no!
Whoa! Doxing.
It's okay, I didn't put the zip code on, so there's no way they'd find it.
Oh my God. Caitlin, how's the movie end?
I'd be happy to say. Okay, it's time for the big concert. We're in Act 3. She starts performing. Oh yeah, she's like, I can't do this. She takes off her wig. She might quit being Hannah Montana. But then everyone's like, you can still be Hannah Montana. And she's like, oh, yeah.
Duh. They do the thing that they do to Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 2, where he reveals his identity, and they're like, we'll keep it to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
But in a way, it like forces her to be Hannah Montana forever, because she's like, I'm ready to be myself. And they're like, no, thank you. Just kind of like a nightmare.
Right. But that sleazy tabloid guy from the beginning is about to blow her cover, but then he's like, oh wait, my daughters told me not to. So then he doesn't. And then Miley and Travis kiss, and the movie... we don't like that. And then the movie ends with her performing another song as Hannah. So I guess no lessons were learned. What's the takeaway?
The takeaway is
Be yourself, but don't.
Be yourself to a point. Which I think is the message of a lot of 2000s children's media. Be yourself, but watch your fucking
back. The message is if you have a good wig, you can do almost anything.
I know. But what if you have Hannah Montana's wig?
Like I said.
I have a practical Hannah Montana related question from the very beginning of the movie.
Yes.
The song we see her play at that stadium in Los Angeles is called Best of Both Worlds.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme song to the television show.
Okay, because it's obviously a song.
You have to watch your back right now because people are getting activated.
It's nothing against the song, but it's clearly a song about being Hannah Montana and having a secret alter ego. How is that a mystery then?
It's an open secret. Yeah. There's... Something I loved about a change, so that's like the theme song to the TV show. They make one small change between the TV show and the movie version of that song. In the TV show, there's like a line that goes like, you go to movie premieres. And then she says, is that Orlando Bloom? And that happens in 2006. By 2009, that line is removed because Orlando Bloom is no longer a famous person. And you would no longer be excited to see him at a movie premiere.
Yeah, true.
That song's a classic. I mean, yeah, it is. She is. But you would be surprised at how flagrantly she is very obviously not Hannah Montana in the show. It's almost every episode.
Mm-hmm. Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Do you have any other like basic questions about Hannah Montana that we can help you out with?
No. I think that was about it.
That was more menacing than I intended it to be.
I mean, it is kind of shitty of her to like when she shows up at her friend's party, immediately get up on stage and play a concert if she knows her friend is pissed at her.
No one knew that concert was happening. She just decided.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true because there's like moments. Where with like people in her life seem constantly frustrated that she has this alter ego and it's so inherent to who she is. It's like, well, then don't hang out with her if you don't like that. But no one was forcing her. She literally is like shrugging at Lily. She's like, I'm sorry, I had to put on a concert no one asked for with my new awesome song.
to be fair, in the pilot that you made me watch at Knife Point today,
Lily
was like, can I tell everyone? I'm going to tell them you're Hannah. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, don't do that. And she was like, why? So confusing, mixed signals.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like taking the private jet out there was a significant fraction of the money that the town needed to raise in order to buy the land from that developer.
Look, and then Haya
Taylor...
Like,
that's a third of the door take-home from that concert she just did.
And you know that that's also how Taylor Swift got there. Mm-hmm. Because... Taylor Swift. Okay, Taylor Swift is in the movies. We have managed to not mention that Rascal Flatts is at Margot Martindale's house.
What? I didn't even know that.
Oh, I would know those goatees anywhere, baby.
I would. And
it's like you've never seen Cars. It's ridiculous. I can't. The lack of media literacy on this stage right now. It's shocking. Rascal Flatts is at the house with Robbie Ray and Margot Martindale, and they're singing some piece of shit song because that's what they do. I liked it. Okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I meant piece of shit, like not pejorative.
Well, okay.
Scrambling.
So, okay, wait. Taylor Swift is at the open mic night thing, right?
Yeah.
No, that's the end of it.
And they play,
question.
But I love it. So during the Taylor Swift song, they're cutting around to like a bunch of different conflicts. But most of this like sweet Taylor Swift song about teenagers in love takes place while Robbie Ray Stewart is talking to Jan Levinson Gould about how he's a bad boyfriend, which I thought was a good use of Taylor Swift. I thought it worked.
Absolutely.
Robert, I am very. What's going on?
He wants to read his notes.
I know. I can see you shaking, ready to read the notes. Yeah. Okay. So, is this a Behind the Bastards episode now? What's going on?
I mean, I just have a little bit to say about Billy Ray Cyrus.
I have to say, please. The font is not very big.
No. Most of these are just notes. But
all right.
Yeah,
well, yeah. No. Please.
Right, let me make sure people can see the address.
So we're talking about Billy Ray Cyrus, not Robbie Ray Stewart. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because no one has ever been named Robbie
How
Ray Stewart.
How many pages is this?
It's not that much. So, Billy Ray was born August 25th, 1961. Now, he was born in Flatwoods, Kentucky, to Ron Cyrus, a steel worker who became a politician, which is the first time that his actual background conflicts with the movie, because the movie clearly shows him growing up as a down-home farm boy, and his dad was like a union man who became a political leader in the state. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's suspicious, right? Uh-huh.
So already a manufactured, like, everyman image.
Also, his grandpa was a Pentecostal preacher, which is problematic.
Ooh.
He dropped out of Georgetown. He went to Georgetown.
What the fuck?
I know, right? Right? Georgetown.
What a liar.
Billy Ray.
Oh,
I know.
God.
Yeah, very down home and country, Billy.
How old was he when Achy Breaky Heart came out?
We're getting to Achy Breaky Heart.
Okay. Well, but also, I feel like this, like, ties into, like,
Taylor Swift is in this like country movie while she's from Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah,
and she's like, "Howdy, y'all!" Like, I was like, "All right, Punxsutawney Phil, chill out."
It's a lot of appropriation going on.
Happy Groundhog Day, everybody! Woo! Where are my Groundhog Day hands at? I don't know.
So, continue. This is a fun fact. He dropped out of Georgetown in his junior year because he went to a Neil Diamond concert and decided he wanted to become a musician.
Men can do anything. Wow. Yeah.
So
inspiring.
This brings us to the only notable fact about Billy Ray's musical career, the song Achy Breaky Heart.
Okay.
Now, it was written by an amateur songwriter, Don Van Tress.
He didn't write
No. That's amazing. No, Billy Ray could never have crafted the intricate lyrics of Achy Breaky Heart. And it was originally recorded by a band called the Marcy Brothers, but their version changed lyrics to be less bad. Okay. So when Billy got the song, he was like, no. Let's make it, keep it shitty.
So you're saying not only did he not write it, but he stole it from somebody
else?
Yes,
he stole it shamelessly.
Okay.
It reached number 23 on CMT's 100 Greatest Videos of All Time, number 2 on VH1's Most Awesomely Bad Song.
Okay, look, Caitlin needs to tell on themselves really quickly.
Okay.
The main thing I did to prep for this episode, aside from watching Hannah Montana the movie, is watch the music video to Achy Breaky Heart. It is, yes, it is not good.
No, of course not.
It's literally him at a concert in like 4:3 ratio, like aspect ratio. It looks like shit. He has the worst haircut imaginable.
Terrible song.
And it's a bad song. Yeah.
But Caitlin, you were texting me that you thought he was very handsome.
Billy Ray hot.
Yeah. Way to bury the fucking lead.
I was waiting for that.
It's a unique kind of shitty song because when Weird Al Yankovic parodied it, Weird Al, famously one of the nicest people who's ever lived, the only parody he could make was so mean that he donated all of the proceeds from the song to charity. He was like, this is too cruel. I can't profit off of this. But there's no other way to make an Achy Breaky Heart parody.
Okay, you're like one paragraph.
Yeah, skip ahead a little.
No, we're done. We're mostly done.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things I want to note. In April of 2017, he changed his name to Cyrus, or the artist formerly known as Billy Ray. And Wikipedia says, fans did not like this, but on Live with Kelly and Ryan, Cyrus said, I'm here to set the record straight. He assured his fans his name would still be Billy Ray. So that's good. Now we get to the sketchy part, because Billy Ray Cyrus also sits on the advisory board of the Parents Television Council, which is an ultra-right-wing anti-art organization. They lobby against the existence of gangster rap as a legal medium of art. Mm-hmm. It's founded by a guy named Leo Brent Bozell III, who is the nephew of William F. Buckley.
Jesus fucking Christ. How long has he been on that council?
For quite a while.
Okay.
I don't have an exact year here because I was pretty high when I wrote this. Also, Cyrus's song We the People was used as the campaign song for George W. Bush during his 2000 presidential run.
That's right.
Cyrus was reported as saying that he was a lifelong Democrat. Don't know how much I believe that.
Well, now, he's a Georgetown University Democrat. Yeah. That can mean anything.
So the last thing I should note is that in the movie, her mom is dead, right? That's like clearly implied.
And not just dead, Brooke Shields undead.
Ooh.
Yeah.
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 And he is her manager.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what I said.
Okay. There,
was that not clear?
Canonically, in the show and the movie, her mom is always dead, but sometimes her ghost comes back and it's Brooke Shields. And Brooke Shields is like, Miley, I'm so proud of you. And like, and then you're like, what the fuck is going on?
It's not like flashbacks. She comes back as a ghost.
She's not like, but she like she does. Yeah, she comes to like advise like, Miley. The two main female advisors in Miley's life, and I view this as a positive, are Brooke Shields and Dolly Parton. And that Dolly Parton guested on the show many times because she's Miley Cyrus's actual godmother.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And today we watched the episode where Dolly Parton robs the AV club or something. It was pretty exciting. It was good. Anyways, yes.
So it's fun that her mom is dead in the show and Billy Ray is her manager. Because in real life, her mother, Tish, was her manager.
Yes.
And Tish and Billy Ray got divorced in the year 2000. Oh, sorry, in April 2022, after a couple of different divorce attempts. And mm-hmm. in September of that year, Billy Ray shared a photo of himself with a woman named Firehose on Instagram. That is her legal name, okay? The two met over a decade prior on the set of Hannah Montana.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She is, I mean, she's 34.
Now.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. There's one last thing I'll read.
It's not against the law.
About how they met.
I was like, how old was she when they met? 22.
22.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. That. Yeah. So, on the set of his daughter's show.
Not illegal, but a little.
Yeah. Hmm. And he in one of the stories he gives about how they met, he notes, or it's noted, Firehose came. He's like walking his he's walking his dog when she comes out of the Hannah Montana set. On that given day, Firehose came out the front door. There was almost a moment of, I don't know, recognition. I was like, this girl's a star.
Yikes. He said that back then?
No, that's what he said now.
That he thought back then.
That's what he
like
said he thought
was
back then.
And on his daughter's TV
on
show.
On his daughter's
that
TV
he was
show.
Getting paid to do off her likeness.
I wish Firehose the best. I think we should all keep Firehose
yeah,
in our
like
thoughts.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers for Firehose.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers for Firehose is my takeaway. Okay, so is that all of Billy Ray's crimes? Do we miss anything?
That's most of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, Caitlin, was there anything else that stuck out to you about this movie? Besides the fact that it's fucking awesome.
It's so awesome. The scene where Travis is like, he comes in, she's like in a barn or a chicken coop, I'm not sure, and she's singing a song and he's like, that song fucking sucks. Why are you, oh, you're still doing that singing thing? And yeah. Also, it's generic and your song isn't even about anything. First of all, he only heard like two lines of it. Secondly,
she didn't.
None of her songs are about anything, so what's the problem? And
they're one of her songs is clearly
what are you talking?
One of her songs is famously about if she were a movie. That's okay. One of her most favorite. If we were a movie, you'd be the right guy, I'd be the best friend that you'd fall in love with in the end. How is that not about something, Caitlin?
Well, okay, and then all sorry, her song that goes pop it, lock it, polka dot it, country.
Yeah, it's about the power of dance.
Put your hug in the sky, something side to side, jump to the left, stick it, glide. Etc.
I'd like to see you do it. I'm getting defensive of Hannah Montana again. It's fine.
So my point is, Travis sucks. We already knew that, but in particular in that scene where he's like, your art is bad. And it's like, what have you ever done besides make an ugly chicken coop, Travis?
Wow. I mean, sorry. Wow. And then it's like all the scenes between Robbie Ray Stewart and Miley are always weird because he always is like walking up to her. The whole series and the movie is like, what are you so upset about? And it's like, same thing as usual. The split identity you forced me into so you could have this shitty sitcom house next to the beach. Ultimately, I think that Vita is a fun character. I wish she got to do more because it's like you got Vanessa Williams and you're not going to let her do more stuff.
I know.
Don't waste my time. We could just get rid of Travis and have so much more fun.
More with Tyra.
More okay. I feel like we still have to cover Life Size. That was what I thought when we that was okay. A huge thought.
The people that I was want having.
The people want the Life Size episode. She's
that
from
movie
Sunnyvale, California.
Beautiful.
Oh, it was a perfect. I haven't seen it in 20 years. It's probably I'm sure it aged
does
perfectly.
It hold up?
It's perfect. The people have spoken is perfect. and then the other thing I wanted to say is that in Hannah Montana, women are not the only ones who are pratfalling because Billy Ray, or whatever his name is in the movie, he pratfalls too.
Yay!
He knocks a bunch of plates over.
That
and
is
that's
like
equity.
That is like very inherent to this like era of like. Disney sitcom girls specifically, because if I had a dollar for every time we got, I mean, we've talked about Hilary Duff, she's slipping, sliding all over the place. Raven Simone just absolutely flying across the room at a moment's notice. Miley Cyrus just careening out of a can, and like they're just flopping around.
Yeah,
I love true. It. They were our the greatest physical comedians of our era. I like when girl walking and then she fall down. I look at her, I say, she like me.
That's comedy. Also, and Robert, you brought this up as far as they like dead mom her. She's like, Disney princess her, basically. I do want to mention, as far as the like father-daughter relationship goes, the parallels to Armageddon.
Caitlin. Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, ready? Single dad.
I can see.
And daughter. Daughter. Daughter has a little boyfriend. And something is headed their way to destroy their town.
An asteroid and/or American capitalism.
Equally bad things. And the characters need to stop it.
It's true. And they do the classic, they save the town from the thing, sort of, kind of, and you kind of forget what the threat was in the first place, and then there's a really loud song, and then you pass out. That's the movie.
And it feels like a movie.
The movie does feel like a movie. Big time.
Well, so I didn't know this until you mentioned it, Robert, that it was Miley Cyrus's mother who was her manager throughout her entire career.
Tish.
And then the movie is like, the show and the movie is like, no, it was Billy Ray, it was her daddy. So that's
stolen valor.
It's the erasure of women's labor.
Tish and, erasure.
Ugh. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, so I feel so. Here's what we know.
Yes.
This movie is good.
Yeah.
I think that's the conclusion we've come to. However, I feel like, I don't know, like, Caitlin, Sophie, and I, like, we can tap into our natural pop star pretty easily, but Robert, I just feel like you've got, like, a lot of weapons and kind of scary notes, and I'm just, like, not getting pop star from you right now, so I wanted to, don't touch the notes anymore, please. No one wants to see the address. We're going to put that down. Robert, I want to, like, we were thinking we would help you kind of get in touch with your inner pop star tonight. Is that okay?
Oh boy.
Okay. Let's kick up the music. We've got a little plan. We've got a quiz. I found a quiz on the internet called Pop Star, Which Are You? All right, Robert Evans, if you want to find out which pop star you are, this personality quiz reveals your perfect famous singer match.
Side note, can you name at least three of those people?
Oh.
The quiz before the quiz.
Yeah, that's Selena Gomez. Is that one of them?
Yes. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that looks like there's a Selena Gomez in there. Is that also, is that Taylor Swift in the stripes?
Yes.
See? All right, I'm
one
out.
More.
You don't know the Biebs?
Come on, I've given you 5 years to learn this one.
Justin Bieber.
Really?
Yeah, and that is
Baby Sweet. Oh, he got a little caked out, didn't he?
All right. And that's famously the woman you called Ariana Grande.
Wait, which one? Yeah.
That's.
I'm going to be honest.
You've had half a decade.
I just knew
to learn
one
this.
Of the three ladies was Selena Gomez.
Robert's a big fan of Rare Beauty Cosmetics.
All right, we're going to start the quiz.
Okay, but who the hell is on the left?
That's Shawn
No
Mendes.
One knows. Oh.
That name means nothing to me.
No one's quite sure who that is on the left. All right, can we start the quiz? The first question, what is your favorite treat?
with two E's, I might know.
Mashed potato, cheese pizza, eating out at Nando's, or chicken nuggets?
I mean, I gotta say Nando's.
Eating out at Nando's. Okay, let's choose that one. Caitlin, you want to take this next one?
Absolutely. Pick a movie or series. Romance/sci-fi. Why are those two grouped together? Not sure.
No, this makes sense.
Sci-fi/action. That makes a little more sense. Crime/action or Bollywood drama.
Thoughts? There's a lot of, there's some intersecting Venn diagram circles.
It's heartbreaking to think that soon quizzes like this will be written by AIs.
I know.
putting hardworking writers out of business.
What are you thinking?
Answer the question.
Yeah. Oh, I have to answer?
Yes, Robert.
Well, I guess, my preference in movies is my preference in real life, so crime action.
Crime action.
Yeah, okay. I could go for some crime action.
All right, next we have, what song do you like most? Oh, this is going to be rough.
So
Cigarette Daydreams by Cage the Elephant, Get It Right by Diplo and M.O., Hey Jude by The Beatles, or Thriller by Michael Jackson. So,
did you guys hear the latest Cage the Elephant news?
No, I haven't heard the latest Cage the Elephant. What am I, 5 years
the
old?
The lead singer was arrested in New York because people at the hotel noticed when he was in the bathroom yelling at no one that he had a loaded gun in his pants. So he was illegally carrying 2.45s loaded and chambered. Anyway.
Robert, are you sure
that
wasn't
you? I'm going to go with Cigarette Daydreams.
Okay.
Why are you like this?
All right, next question, Caitlin.
Okay, where do you like to live?
The four places.
Well, California and Europe are both acceptable. England and New York are not.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to go with Europe because California is going to burn down soon.
Okay.
Fair.
Okay. Which car do you like the most? Red car, blue car, green car, or red car?
I'm going to have to go with the green one.
Okay, I like, yeah. Yes. Yes, that's really going to hurt the environment real bad.
None of them are going to be good for the environment.
But that one looks like Shrek.
Who is good for the environment?
Shrek heads. Yeah, what is your favorite animal? Tarantulas, horses, cats, or lions?
Wow, again, cats still somehow, somehow there's a...
I can't forgive this quiz for making me choose between cats and lions. Okay. But I'll go with cats.
Okay, hell good call, yeah. Good call.
Do you know how many nipples a cat has? It's 8. That's Cat Facts with Caitlin.
Like a spider.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Robert, which country or region would you like to visit the most? Is it Hawaii?
Hawaii?
Eastern Europe? The UK or India?
I'm going to have to go with Hawaii.
No one's been there before.
I'm drawn to mystery.
What musical instrument would you like to learn? Ukulele, cello, piano? I would only like to sing.
Yeah, I would only like to sing.
Okay, you're going to regret saying that. Which personality trait fits you according to your friends and family?
Whoa,
okay,
I
Sophie,
thought,
you can
I
answer this.
That said whore. I thought that said whore.
Being rebellious, being stubborn, being compassionate, or being a dreamer. Sophie, you should answer this. Your friends and family.
Yeah. I'm going to go with ask the audience. No!
I'm sorry, Robert's but the clear answer dreamer. Is compassionate.
Yeah.
He's a very compassionate guy.
That's a fascinating
in Hawaii.
Spelling.
All right.
Oh, yes. What fictional character inspires you the most? Michael Scott from The Office.
Robin Williams is a
fictional character. Robin Williams. Willy Wonka or Harry Potter?
Yeah, Robert, answer this question.
Answer the question.
I'm going to have to go with Robin Williams, but specifically Robin Williams from 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah.
That's a good Robin Williams. Which quote do you agree with the most? All the good girls go to hell. Be kind to yourself a little more every day. Music is a powerful tool in galvanizing people around an issue. Or... no matter how many times people try to criticize you, the best revenge is to prove them wrong.
Well, I guess the revenge one. I am a revenge stan.
Yeah. I thought he was going to go, all good girls go to hell.
Oh, jeez,
like,
no,
been a
not,
fun
not in
and
this
sassy
room.
Switch up.
What are you afraid of?
Phantom of the
Darkness? Loneliness? Being in a crowded place or drowning?
I mean, I gotta give it to them. They spelled loneliness right, which I was not expecting from this writer.
Your answer is definitely being in a crowded place.
Yeah, having been in a couple of crowd crush situations, everyone file out real carefully.
Who would you like to spend an evening with?
Oh boy.
Ferret. Friends,
answer this accurately.
Fans, alone, or family?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with alone.
Your friends are so sad.
What natural element inspires you the most? The sky, the ocean, mountains, or the desert?
I'm going to go with mountains.
Yes, a classic element. What is your favorite type of sport?
Oh boy.
Horseback riding, boxing, football, or soccer?
What a series of choices. Well, on an artistic level, I appreciate head injuries, so I'm going to go with football.
Okay.
Although boxing.
Although,
that's tough.
I was like, there's
that's
a
left. Yeah.
And falling off a horse? You could get a brick.
You're right. They're all great head injury sports. Soccer, yeah. Too, but I'm going to go with football.
Okay.
This is a really long quiz.
Look, we're almost done.
16 of 20. Okay, what is your favorite time of day? Afternoon, morning, dusk, or night?
Night.
It's, yeah.
I don't like that they did that out of chronological order.
No.
Yeah, it's weird.
What would you do first to make the world a better place? Abolishing sexual discrimination? Ending all wars, controlling climate change, or restoring balance in the global economy. Sorry, you can only pick one. You're going to seem like a bitch no matter what.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, look, controlling climate change sounds like I could control the weather.
You can make it worse.
And I could deal with some problems if I could control the weather. So I'm going to go with that one.
Control. That's the vaguest answer by far.
Okay. Select one of the drinks below. Rum, vodka, wine, or tequila?
Tequila.
Or tequila.
Tequila. That's not even a question.
Ketamine, but...
What city is the best place to live for a pop star? L.A., Paris, London, or New York?
I mean, what's furthest away from me? Paris.
Okay.
Let's keep them far.
Okay. And final question.
Oh, my gosh. Select a supernatural power. You know, that's
the graphics
how that's
on this quiz
said.
Are awesome.
Invisibility, reading minds, talking and understanding what animals say.
Eliza Thornberry vibes.
Understanding what animals say.
Flying, but specifically
flying
without
wings.
And don't
wings.
Press next yet, because...
I mean, flying, right? Like, that's the only choice in a list of superpowers that includes flying.
Can we get a little drum roll, because we're about to get Robert's pop
so
star.
So excited.
Robert, your pop star is... You may click.
Oh, no.
That is pretty fucking rough, man.
Yeah, that's not good.
That is not... How are we
no.
feel?
No.
All right, listen. All right, give it up for Robert. That was very vulnerable of you to do.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
there you have it, listeners. That was our live show, recorded again back in February at Curious Comedy Theater in Portland. We wanted to jump back in, though, to discuss something that we didn't have time for in the live show, but we wanted to bring up Miley Cyrus's history of appropriation.
Right, which I think you get a taste of, not that you would want it, in this movie. Not to say that, you know, at this point, Miley is a kid. She's not really making a lot of her own creative decisions. But I think that it is something that you see very often in kids' media, and which is still very white dominated, you know, the hoedown throwdown. It's a very gentle sort of blend of genres, but I think we're more talking about how this unfolds in her adult career, because it's been I feel like it's pretty common knowledge that it's been a lot.
Yes. So Miley Cyrus, along with many other white pop artists, have a history of appropriating other cultures, often Black culture, using people of color as props and set dressing in music videos, things like that. And these artists profiting from that. And then when that aesthetic doesn't serve them anymore, or, you know, like in the case of Miley, when she wants to get back to her country roots, for example, these artists have the privilege of being able to easily shed the persona that they had been appropriating.
Right. And I think that the sort of most well-known arc of this takes place after the Hannah Montana movie, but surrounds Miley's album Bangers, which came out in 2013, which I think appropriated so heavily from Black culture that it was a topic of discussion in 2013, which is, you know, culturally 1,000 years ago.
right.
But there was a lot of criticism, rightfully so, around how Miley incorporated Black aesthetics into her music and into her music videos. And there was also a lot of criticism of using Black women and Black dancers essentially as props during this, I think particularly this album, but also just kind of throughout these couple of years. She generally would not respond to these criticisms at all, or just blow them off, would not engage with them seriously at all.
Feign ignorance, that kind of thing.
This goes into 2015. She hosts the MTV Music Video Music Awards, the VMAs, in dreadlocks, and you're just like, I don't remember that, but that, and then I saw, and then I was like, well, that's horrible. And like you were referencing, Caitlin, that came back around in 2017 when she did an interview in Billboard, when she was sort of going back to country, completely disavowing or really distancing herself from hip hop in general, even though she was very clearly profiting off of hip hop for years, like half a decade. And then she told, I mean, not only in this interview does she distance herself, she also mocks it. And, you know, just, I don't know. I was like, do we want to share quotes? It's kind of, it's too, it's gross.
I don't want to share quotes from that, but I would like to share quotes from a Teen Vogue article by Michael Arsenault entitled Miley Cyrus Faces Rightful Backlash in the Light of Past Cultural Appropriation. It's from 2017. I'll switch back and forth from like direct quotes and paraphrasing, but it's a really good article. We will link it in our show notes, but Michael Arsenault speaks about white child stars trying to make a transition into bona fide adult star and what often happens with that, and how Miley Cyrus is a prime example of this. So, quote, when they are younger, their squeaky clean presentation is incredibly profitable, but unfortunately for them, they age out and soon run the risk of becoming something that threatens their respective careers. Corny. They have to do something to hold on to their fan bases who, like them, are growing up and are in search of new voices and sounds more aligned with their newfound older interests. Mm-hmm. So they clamor for something that will convey rebellion, and they run right to Black culture. Then Michael talks about America's obsession with Black culture, which non-Black Americans generally perceive as cool, but respect for Black culture does not extend to the Black people who are creating that culture, right, as they are the subjects of constant racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. And then Michael goes on to discuss the public backlash against Miley throughout the years regarding her appropriation of hip-hop aesthetics and styles, and we already alluded to this, but like the very cringy comments she has made about it, or the ignorance she has feigned about it, things like that, and how easy it is for, again, white artists to co-opt Black culture for personal gain, not only like money and profitability, but also as a like strategic, like, oh, I'm going to co-opt this culture to gain like credibility and popularity and get myself to a certain like level of fame that I want to be in. And then when it no longer suits an artist like Miley Cyrus, they're able to just shed that persona when they no longer feel it suits their interests.
Right. And I think, I mean, other, and again, like you were saying earlier, this is not a problem specific to her. She is one of the more prominent perpetrators in the last 10 years. But it's like also in the last 10 years, we have, you know, Iggy Azalea and Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm missing other white pop stars. And it's also not an issue that's specific to white women. It's white artists writ large.
Yeah. There's an interview between Sandra Song and Emma Bracey on an episode of Teen Vogue's Pop Feminist. We just love Teen Vogue. But they talk about a lot of the same things that this article is discussing. And they also cite Katy Perry, Avril Lavigne, Gwen Stefani, who all have a history of appropriating East Asian culture. Mm-hmm. And then like Justin Timberlake, so many white artists.
Really, name a white pop star. I think the list is shorter of artists who have not done it in the last 20 years. And, you know, going back, obviously, doesn't get better. Thank you for sharing that. Sure. I hadn't seen that article.
And then I'll share one last kind of closing thought from it. Quote, there is something to be said for an artist having the space to try new things. And for many born of a certain age, hip hop culture has been the defining culture for their entire lives. But if you don't respect the subcultures you borrow from, you are not so much curious as you are a charlatan. In a perfect world, Black art made by Black people would be just as successful as the art made by a white artist who's inspired by it. In an ideal society, what Black people are vilified for wouldn't be so much more alluring when performed by white people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that was just a wonderful article with a lot of great points.
Let's link that in the description as well.
We shall. Yes.
The last thing I wanted to say was, I guess just referencing that Miley Cyrus eventually did respond to these criticisms. Not until 2019 that I was able to see, but I just thought it was interesting in the way that this happened, because I didn't realize it's a YouTube channel that I watch called As Told by Kenya, a woman named Kenya Wilson. She does great pop culture critique, and she released a video in 2019 called Miley Cyrus is My Problematic Fave, Sorry, which is a fun title. But basically in that she goes through everything that we've spoken about and more in detail, and sort of lays out how she feels about how, because Miley's been silent on this issue so long, like, what is a way forward? Is there a way forward? And her personal opinion on, like, I still enjoy her work, so how do I square this as a Black woman? Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus actually watched and commented on the video. Huh. And I mean, it's not, I just thought it was interesting. I'll share a short quote of what she responded. She said, quote, "There are decades of inequality that I am aware of, but I still have a lot to learn about. Silence is a part of the problem, and I refuse to be quiet anymore. Simply said, I fucked up, and I sincerely apologize. I'm committed to using my voice for healing change and standing up for what's right," which is very vague. But
yes.
The one thing that did feel, I guess, the most clear was I own the fact that saying, quote, "This pushed me out of the hip hop scene a little," unquote, referencing that 2017 interview, was insensitive, as it is a privilege to have the ability to dip in and out of the scene. So, you know, certainly doesn't make anything right, but I also thought it was interesting that this was a conversation that is still ongoing, and it, you know, doesn't correct anything that was done, but just that that was a dialogue between Kenya Wilson and Miley Cyrus was interesting. And I'll send you, we can link Kenya's video as well, because it is very comprehensive, and she's just really fun to watch. I really like her.
Hell yeah. So yeah, that's just something that we wanted to discuss that we didn't have time for in the live show. And what we also failed to do in the live show was take the nipple scale seriously.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to give more serious answers for our nipple scale, which is, of course, the metric we use. It is a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on evaluating the movie through an intersectional feminist lens.
Yeah.
I'm now remembering why we didn't take it very seriously in the movie or in the episode, because this is a very silly movie. I don't know. I guess like 1.5 nipples.
Yeah, sure. I'm like, I truly don't. I mean, yeah. Yeah. 1.5 nipples.
Yeah. And I won't say anything any further.
If you know, you know. I'm going 1.5 and I'm giving them to Rico for some reason.
Oh, wait, who?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you when you're older.
Okay. Thanks. I'll give my nipples to character actor Margot Martindale.
Amazing. Thank you again to Robert Evans and to Curious Comedy Theater and to the entire audience that came out to that absolutely chaotic, bizarre show. And to Sophie Lichterman, we should be thanking her every single episode, but particularly this one, because not only did she was she kind enough to come on stage for the show, but also like put us up, and like Sarah's shout out to Sarah Marshall and Sophie Lichterman for giving us a place to lay our perfect beautiful heads. Yeah, hopefully, you know, we are planning to be on tour a little bit in the fall, so keep your eyes peeled so you too can witness the terror that is a Bechdel Cast live show.
Will a knife get thrown at you?
I'm going to be so careful that that does not happen again, but could be fun.
Could be. At the very least, we will probably eat hot dogs on stage and maybe wear wigs.
Yeah, we're getting into, we're kind of entering our themed costume at the show era, so
yes,
don't rule out a wig.
Yeah. And you will find out about things like upcoming tours on our social media, where you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BechdelCast. You can also always subscribe to the Patreon, which is at patreon.com/BechdelCast. It is $5 a month, and you get access to 2 bonus episodes per month, plus the entire back catalog of all of our bonuses, something like 150-ish episodes.
Wild. Yeah. We just covered What a Girl Wants after years of avoiding it. And yeah, you can also get our merch over on tpublic.com/TheBechdelCast. And in the meantime, time to get on your horse or whatever and go hang out with Margot Martindale or whatever.
I'm going to go into the chicken coop and collect 3 eggs.
And I'll collect whatever other appropriate number of eggs there are in there. Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.